Welcome to the Cleveland Law Library Association's podcast network. Today is June 18th, 2010. My name is Kathleen Sassola, and we are here with Joseph Gross, a partner at the law firm of Benesch Friedlander here in Cleveland, Ohio. Joe has been certified by the Ohio State Bar Association as a specialist in the areas of labor and employment law, and he has agreed to discuss the amendments to the Americans with Disabilities Act and the proposed EEOC regulations that were promulgated thereunder. So, Joe, why did the Congress pass the ADA Amendments Act?
Well, thank you, Kathy. Back in 2008, Congress was concerned that not enough people were being protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. And in fact, the way the Supreme Court had come down in a couple of key cases made it more difficult than what Congress now believes they had intended for the ADA to have protected. The Congress thought that the ADA should protect more people, and that was based on concern that many employee groups had had and disability groups had had, and Congress had worked with those groups and people along with the employer community, and they came up with a compromise which Congress called the ADA, or Americans with Disabilities Amendment Act. So that was back in 2008, and President Bush signed it. Some of the changes that Congress made to include more people was that Congress changed the definition of major life activities. The Americans with Disabilities Act had always protected those individuals who were substantially limited in a major life activity, and one of the areas that the courts had restricted their interpretation in was the definition of major life activities. So Congress expanded major life activities in a couple of ways, which I'll get into. Another change that the Americans with Disabilities Act Amendments Act corrected was that before courts would look at an individual and whether that person was substantially limited in a major life activity, as to whether or not the person really was at that time substantially limited in a major life activity, and Congress said that wasn't good enough, that if the person was either not suffering at that particular moment from a substantial limitation in a major life activity, or whether that person had a some sort of mitigating measure, meaning perhaps a prosthetic limb or a hearing aid, that did not limit them from the protection of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Those are the primary changes. The Congress also expanded protections for people that employers misclassify as being disabled, meaning that the employers regard as disabled. And the last thing that the Act did, the Amendments Act did, was require the EEOC to change what substantially limits means, because the courts had been inconsistent, and Congress believed too harsh in requiring a very stringent definition of substantial limits. The major life activities used to be what people at that, people had considered major life activities years ago, which were things like walking, seeing, hearing, speaking, breathing, learning, and working, And I think we all can agree that those are major life activities. Well, the Americans with Disabilities Act, Amendments Act, expanded that list and included things like concentrating and thinking and lifting. So somebody substantially limited in lifting now could be considered to have a substantial limitation in a major life activity, where before the Amendments Act, that probably wouldn't have taken place. The other significant area or change in the definition of major life activities is that it now encompasses operations of a major bodily function. So if somebody has digestive problems, regardless of whether or not there is some manual task associated with that, as long as the bodily function is substantially impaired, then that person will be considered to be disabled.
These sound like very significant changes. So what is in store for employers and employees?
Well, the end result is this. Given the fact that the EEOC has even expanded on the definition supplied to it from the Amendments Act, they've added things such as bending, sitting, and reaching, and having really protecting the interest of employees more, the safer bet for both employers and employees is to consider someone who is substantially impaired in some physical or mental way to have the protections of the Act, at least going in until you have good reason to think otherwise. So whereas prior to the Amendments Act, perhaps 80 to 90% of cases were kicked out for the major life activity not being major enough, or that the impairment wasn't substantially limited enough. That has changed now, and I would expect the numbers to reverse. So most employees who are substantially impaired in a major way should ask for their employers for any accommodations that they might need because of that limitation, and employers should now listen more closely.
Well, we definitely appreciate your expertise in this area. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.